Well, today as we prepare for our affirmation of baptism, I think about all the promises that we talk about in our confirmation program. From the beginning, the students hear about the promises God made through Abraham and Sarah, the promises Jesus made to love all people, to save the world, to forgive our sins whenever we ask. We spend a lot of time in that last year talking about the promises that we make when we are confirmed, promises all of us who have been confirmed have made. And those promises will go like this. You have made public profession of your faith. Do you intend to continue in the covenant God made with you in holy baptism? And these are the promises: to live among God's faithful people, to hear God's word and share in God's supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ Jesus through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of our Lord Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. The focus we have on these promises sometimes makes me a little uncomfortable, because I know that promises can be so easily broken, especially if they're made without the weight of our heart and soul behind them. Promises that we make flippantly, without thought, are the easiest to break, I think. That's why we spend years preparing for confirmation, and then we spend many years beyond that learning about more about what these promises mean and how to live and why we live differently because of them. I made these promises too when I was confirmed, but I didn't really know what they meant. It wasn't until I was in college that I really heard them. I was meeting with my campus pastor, preparing to preach my very first sermon ever, and she pulled out those words from the affirmation of baptism service. And I thought they were absolutely beautiful. I thanked God that with his grace, I was still involved in my faith and dedicated to sharing in the Lord's Supper, to living with my fellow Christians, and to striving for justice and peace in the world. I often come back to those promises when I'm struggling to know what to do in life, especially that part about striving for justice and peace, because that's something that God talked a lot about in the Bible, but an area, I think, that we often struggle to hold up our end of the promise more so than some of the others. Twice in my life, I've made promises that I spent years preparing for. One was in my ordination to become a pastor, when I promised to do things like, I have to look back, to accept, teach, and confess the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene, and the Athanasian Creed. Did you know we have a third creed? I promised to uphold the Lutheran confessions, which are the teachings of Martin Luther and his contemporaries. I promised to be diligent in my study of Scripture and the use of the means of grace. And the means of grace are things like communion and baptism. I promised to pray for God's people, to nourish you in the Word and through the sacraments, and to lead you. I promised to be a faithful witness to God in the world. And in all these things, I asked for God's help and guidance, because believe me, I need it, as we all do. I take these promises very seriously and think about them often. But there are certainly days when I fail and I have to ask your forgiveness and God's. The other time I made big promises was at my wedding. I promised to be faithful, loving, and to support and care for my husband. And every day I try to do this. I try to be a good wife, friend, and partner to Brian. Some days are better than others. Please don't ask him what those days are. From the time we're little, we learn about promises, don't we? We all have those pinky swears we make on the playground with our friends. We learn the joy of when promises are kept, like when I promised to my son Bennett that if he eats his good food for dinner, he can have dessert. And he asks about that a lot. We also learn the sadness of a broken promise. And the pain that broken promises cause us can range from small to nearly unsurvivable. I've thought a lot about promises made and kept, and here is where I've come out on them. The only reason that we make promises in the name of God is because God first makes promises to us, and we know that God never breaks a promise. Our trust in each other, our aims to love others, to live together, to work for peace and justice in our world. These are only possible because we stand on the firm foundation of God's promises to us. In holy baptism, God promises to free us from sin and death by joining us to the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the waters of baptism, we are reborn children of God. We know that we have that promise of eternal life. In baptism, God formally brings us into his family, the church, which is the body of Christ himself. In the church, we grow in faith, love, and obedience to God's will. These are the promises made to us in baptism. We hear another one of God's promises today in the words that Jesus speaks to his disciples on the last night of his life, as he prepares to make that promise of forgiveness and eternal life to the world by dying on the cross. Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also." We often wonder what our place in the world is. Where do we belong? Who are we? We may be like those stones we heard about in the reading from 1 Peter. A stone who has been rejected by others. We may be someone who is not seen worthy for any number of reasons. We look different, we act different, we don't have enough money, we don't have a perfect family, or maybe others see us as too perfect. We can be not seen as worthy for any number of reasons. We can all feel rejected and cast away. But God never casts us away. God calls us in. God makes a home for us. And with God, we are truly at home. When we think of the passage from John 14, and we think of that home with God, I bet that most of us envision that great big mansion in the sky, God's mansion, and there's a room waiting for us with our name on it, and in that room is whatever we could want and ask for. As we know with Pastor Paul, it's fried chicken and mashed potatoes, right? But if we live where Jesus lives, that is our home. And if that is our home, then we are already there because we live with Jesus now. You have already found your place in this world, and you are where you belong. This is the place where Jesus comes to meet us, to live with us. He is here in the bread and the wine, and when you eat and drink it, he lives in you. In the waters of baptism, Jesus came to you through the Holy Spirit. When he called your name, and when it was said, "You are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." We live because Jesus lives, and our place is with him forever. 1 Peter says this, "Come to Jesus, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. God lives in us and makes us alive, even in our rejection, even when we are cast away. Christ makes his home with us, and God builds us into a home for himself and for others. If you're searching for your place in the world, here it is. If you are in the darkness, God calls you into his marvelous light. If you're on shaky ground, remember that Jesus is the foundation of the world. If you feel lost or alone, know that the way is already made for you to go home. Just keep following that light until you find home again. Take a moment now of prayer, and if you want to close your eyes, you can. I want you to call to mind somebody you know, who you have loved, and maybe somebody you have lost, or you know somebody you know who is lost. And maybe that person is even yourself. So think of that person, picture their face, think about what you loved about that person. Think about what God loves about that person. And hear these words of Jesus. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may also be. Jesus lived, died, and raised again. He ascended to God, that we may have life forever, and that our place may always be with him. Amen.